us, encourage us, strengthen us through your word today, that we would continue to seek after you, continue to grow closer to you. Challenge us today by your word, that we would not leave this place the same way as we came in, but we'd be changed and transformed by the power of your word and our belief in you. God, we just give you praise, we give you glory. We thank you for the wondrous works that you're doing in our lives, the things that you're accomplishing. God, we just give you all the praise, all the glory. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, I'm going to start a new direction this morning and talk about a couple of things this morning. If I were to draw a line and tell you that that if you were to step over that line, it would change your life for the better, would you take that step? If I was to say, here's the line right here, draw the line in the sand as they do, and say, if you step over that line, your life's going to be better, and it could be better. Would you take that step? I think we would, especially if we knew that taking that step would guarantee inner peace. It would bring riches into our lives, enlightenment, and physical well-being into our lives. Why would we even hesitate not to, even for a second, not to just step over that line and say, okay, here I am. I'm over the line. I'm ready to go. I think most of us have taken the first step, or at least think we've taken the first step. You know, so over the next several weeks, we're going to talk about just achieving happiness and success in our lives. I think all of us want to be happy and successful in our lives. And so we're going to talk about happiness and success over the next several weeks. And trying to get those things to be established in our lives, to make a decision towards those things. Does anybody want to be really sad and miserable? Okay. Just Patrick, and you're doing a good job of it, Patrick. Hang in there, baby. I don't think any of us want to be sad and miserable. I think we all want to be happy, and we all want success in our lives. And you know, I'm very aware of what determines success, but I think I would rather have God's success in my life than my own. Does that make sense? Because I think God wants me to be more successful than I do. I think in my own spirit, I want to be successful, but I want to be successful in God's things, and I think He wants me to be that successful as well. But first, let me say this. I believe that all we need to know can be found in the Bible. Everything that we need to know for our success can be found in the Bible. Within the Bible, we'll find the answer to all of life's opportunities, all of life's problems. The answers lie within the Bible. Every answer. Bible stands for basic instructions before leaving earth. So it's all there. Everything that we need is in there. It contains all the principles found in every book ever written on success and happiness. It is so funny. The other day, I was talking to a friend of mine, and they were trying to encourage one another, and they said something, and I said, well, yeah, that's exactly what Paul said. Paul said in such and so chapter, he said this, and this one friend of mine looked at me. He goes, oh yeah, the Bible. He goes, you could pretty much come up with anything out of the Bible, and I didn't say anything. You could, the Bible, you could go through the Bible and find answers to everything as though it was, and I thought to myself, well, yeah, that's kind of the point. That's why it kind of makes me laugh. And no offense to anyone, but I really don't think God said, I forgot to put something in the book. So he had to write another book, but that's just a whole nother story. But, the Bible is complete. It has everything necessary for life. Okay? It has everything for success and happiness is written in the Bible. In fact, when you read, if any of you have ever read, have any of you guys ever read success or motivational books? Have you ever read them? Okay, if you've read them, what's interesting to me is when I read them, I'm thinking, I wonder if this guy's a Christian. Because oftentimes as you read through them, the principles that are laid down in those success books are all principles taken right out of the Bible. That in order to be successful, you have to, now, you have to follow some certain techniques, because there are certain things about the natural realm, the natural laws that are out there that, that provide for success and happiness in one's life, and those natural laws don't change. They're out there. From the wellspring of the Creator, stimulating wisdom never runs dry. As we grow and understand and we grow more and more, of the wisdom of the ages is opened up to us. When we study the Bible, the more we study it, the more we get into it, the more the wisdom of the Word of God begins to be revealed into our lives. We begin to see things, and it begins to speak into areas of our lives with a great deal of wisdom. We are limited in our understanding only by our willingness to abide by the principles found in the Bible and grow in them. What stops us from being more and more successful in our lives, from growing more and more, being more and more happy, being more and more successful in our lives, the things that keeps us from doing that is our unwillingness to follow the principles of the Bible. The more we follow after the things of God, the happier we will be, and the more successful we will be in every aspect of our lives, always. And so as we seek to go after the Lord, seek to continue to move in Him, He will grow us in wisdom and knowledge, and we'll continue to grow in those things. In Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12 through 26, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation this morning, just because I think it says it a little bit better for us. But it talks about wisdom. And so let me read these verses to you, and I really enjoyed these verses when I read them. I, wisdom, live together with good judgment. I know where to discover knowledge and discernment. All who fear the Lord will hate evil. Therefore, I hate pride and arrogance, corruption and perverse speech. Common sense and success belong to me. Insight and strength are mine. Because of me, kings reign and rulers make just decrees. Rulers lead with my help, and the noble make righteous judgments. I love all who love me. Those who search will surely find me. I have riches and honor, as well as enduring wealth and justice. My gifts are better than gold, even precious gold. My wages are better than sterling silver. I walk in righteousness, in paths of justice. Those who love me inherit wealth. I will fill their treasuries. I will fill their treasuries. The Lord formed me from the beginning, before He created anything else. I was appointed in past ages, at the very first, before the earth began. I was born before the oceans were created, before the springs bubbled forth their waters, before the mountains were formed, before the hills, I was born. Before He made the earth, the fields, and the first handful of soil. Amen. I want me some of that wisdom. Don't you? I want me some of that wisdom. And the wisdom comes from the Word. When this area of Scripture promises us that as we continue to seek after the things of God, the very purpose of God was to give us wisdom. Before He founded the earth, before He even started, He said, you know what? When I create these human beings, I'm going to need to give them some wisdom. So I'm going to create wisdom first. Because in wisdom comes everything else. In wisdom comes all of your answers come in your ability to retain wisdom. I mean, let's face it. When we make a mistake and we learn from that mistake, what do we gain? Wisdom. Because the next time it rolls around, what speaks to us? Wisdom. On the right thing to do, on the not right thing to do. Sometimes we can avoid trouble if we're in the Word of God and we're studying the Word of God. We can see in there that God says, hey, I think you should probably keep yourselves from doing this. And you say, okay, God, that's good wisdom. I'm going to follow that. And then there's other times when we look at it and go, I don't think so, God. I think I know better on this one. And then what do we discover? God was right. Wisdom. Wisdom is something I think we need to go after. Wisdom is in the Word of God. It is the Word of God. Techniques and methods change, but principles never do. They have existed in eternity's past and will exist in the future. So there are principles that were set down from the foundation of the earth that will help us to reach that success and happiness in our lives that we've always wanted, that we've always desired, that we always want to go after, but sometimes it seems elusive to us. The principles of achieving happiness and success in our lives today are the same principles that we find in the book of Proverbs or in many areas of the Bible. We can find areas of wisdom and things that will lead us to happiness and success only in the Bible. I believe if you studied the Bible and you read it and you followed it, you'd be in good shape. Now, history reveals that there are always have always been those individuals who spend their lives in the negative world, where can't is the most frequent used word in their vocabulary. Now, I remember when I was pastoring at a church one time, and I was trying to figure something out. And so I asked one of the guys in our church, he was standing there, and so I was, and he was, and so I was, I, he was one of the older guys in our church, he was supposed to know stuff, you know, I figured, and I hadn't been a pastor very long, so I was working on something, I don't even remember what I asked him, and I asked him something, and he goes, oh no, you can't do that. And I looked at him, and I said, well, you would agree we need to do this. And he goes, yeah, I would agree that needs to be done. And I go, so we need to do this. So you're telling me we can't do this. And I said, I don't need can'ts. I need to know how to do certain things. I need the ability to do certain things. And he looked at me so weird, and I thought, like can't was okay. And I'm like, if something needs to be done, we need to figure out a way to do it. There's some things right now that are going on in our ministry that the board and the staff are praying and looking for the can, not the can't. Because there's a million reasons why you can't. Had great men like Thomas Jefferson listen to these so-called experts of the day, our civilization probably would have regressed instead of progressed, okay? I have some proof here that I want to read statements that I got from some official documents in newspapers and magazines widely read during the day. And now I want you to listen to what these people of authority said in their day, okay? In 1814, this was said. Anyone traveling at the speed of 30 miles per hour will surely suffocate. So all of you, I'm so happy that you drove here this morning at less than 30 miles an hour, because otherwise you would have suffocated on your way here. 1878. Electric lights are not worthy of serious attention. Yes. Electric lights, forget about them. They're not even worth investing our time and investment in that. 1901. No possible contribution can be united, or no possible combination can be united into a practical machine by which men shall fly. 1900. From a scientist, this foolish idea of shooting at the moon is basically impossible. And that was written in 1926. Yes, we will never walk on the moon, let alone take pictures of Mars. That will never happen. 1930, another scientist wrote, now this is one I think we wish we would have never discovered. To harness the energy locked up in matter is impossible. The splitting of the atom It's impossible. I think this one we would like to undiscover. But they said it could never happen. There has always been those who say it can't be done. Yes, even experts can be wrong. But here's the real tragedy. 98% of the people of that day believed them. 98% of the people of that day never went over 30 miles an hour for fear of suffocation. Because they just didn't know. They said it couldn't be done. They just believed it. It can't be done. We can be thankful for the nonconformist, such as the Wright brothers and Edison, who did not accept this so-called authority. You can be sure of one thing. These people who made these statements and these quotes did not understand one of the most important laws of nature in the universe. And that is, anything you and I think of and believe in, we can achieve. Anything that you believe in, anything that you can think up and then believe in, you can accomplish. Any of those things. The mind of man can conceive many things, but believing is something else. You might conceive an idea of earning $1 million this next year, but without the genuine belief in your heart that it can be done, it will not become a reality. Believing is the key. It is the best basic ingredient for happiness and a successful life, is belief. I mean, here's one of the things that as I was putting this message together, I thought about. I have an idea that I would like to be happy and successful. But do I believe that idea is for me? Do I believe I deserve to be happy and successful? Because sometimes I think we're our own worst enemies when it comes to that. We figure, well, you know, I was there the first 50 years of my life. I was there. I recognize my fault. I think I even wrote this on Facebook. It was yesterday, I think. I recognize the trouble that I've caused in this world. I mean, I see it by either my actions or my silence. There are things that I've done in my life that have not brought glory to God or this world. But thank goodness for Jesus, who forgives me, and now I can move forward. But still, belief is a huge thing. I mean, you can want to be happy and successful. You can want things in your life. But to believe you actually deserve things in your life is a whole nother thing. Because of your past or whatever, you may feel like you don't deserve anything. And that's just not true. That's not the grace of God. That's not the mercy of God. That's not the love of God. That's not the plan of God. Okay? And when we become believers and we're following after the things of God, God wants to restore that which the enemy has stolen from us. Those things that have been broken down and destroyed in our lives, God wants to rebuild those things at a better rate. I mean, even for more glory towards Him. Amen? And so Jesus said this in Mark chapter 9, verse 20 and 23. Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Now, Jesus didn't eliminate anything. He said all things. He just said, hey, all things. Why would Jesus make such a statement if it were not so? He understood the natural law of the universe. He knew the law of belief. There's a law of belief that will work, that's been here forever. The law of believing. It is just as certain as the day is follows the night. He used the power of belief to heal the sick, to change the water into wine. And Jesus said that if a man could develop his own belief enough, he could even move mountains. Now, some people think that all that is just, You know, it's what's the word I'm looking for? It's not real. It's an analogy. It's something that's not really true. But you know what? I'm just going to tell you something. You know, when Jesus said this, he was standing on a mountain when he said it. And if you go to the book of Revelations and look, that mountain that he was standing on in the book of Revelation goes into the sea. Okay? That same mountain that he was standing on when he said that, it goes into the sea. So even Jesus, in his instruction to us, when he said, if you speak to the mountain, it will be moved, that very mountain shakes, flattens out, and slides into the sea. Okay? And so I'm just saying that, look, it's a reality. What is, now we can speak of it metaphorically in our own lives, what is the mountain in your life that needs to be moved? Because you need to believe that God wants you to move it. You need to believe that God wants you to be successful, that God wants you to have happiness in your life. He doesn't want, none of you, if you're children of God, as heirs of the promises of God, and as joint heirs with Jesus, are to be miserable. We all deserve, through the blood of Christ, to be happy and successful. Belief is a powerful force, and when properly used, it can move man to accomplish great things. Our Creator gives us a choice to live between two worlds, a positive or a negative. And I'm just telling you that most of us are negative, and we still live in that negative world, and it's working for us because we absolutely believe in the negative. And it happens. I mean, how many of you have said, just purely by, well, I'm just waiting for the other foot to fall. Things are going great, and then you're like, oh, no, here it comes. I'm just waiting for the other foot to fall. And then when it falls, you go, see, told you it would happen. Well, of course it happened, because that's what you believed in. You believed in the other foot falling. Oh, I don't believe this business will ever get up off the ground. It'll never work. And then it fails, and you go, I don't know what happened. Why did God do that? Well, he was just going with what you thought. He was just following what you believed in. He was just making, do you see what I'm saying? Belief is a powerful, powerful thing. You know, I've said this before. Years ago, I used to say it all the time. I haven't said it in a long time, so I thought I'd say it today. You know, when I get to heaven, I would much rather have God say to me, okay, Tim, I'm a little upset with you because you did too much. I really didn't want to heal that old lady, but you just kept praying for and believing it, so I had to keep healing her. I didn't want to see that happen in that guy's life, but you prayed for it, and so I answered the prayer. You did more than I wanted you to do on earth in my name, and I kept having to do it because you kept putting me in a spot. I would rather have God say that to me than to get there and have God say, you didn't do enough. Why didn't you believe in me? Why didn't you pray for that little old lady? Why didn't you speak into that person's life? Why didn't you help in that situation? Why didn't you pray? Why didn't you ask me to intervene and do something there? See, belief is powerful. It's the most powerful tool you and I have in our arsenal to overcome the enemy. If we believe we can overcome, we will. It's when you start wondering whether God's even with you that you run into trouble. When you start believing more in the enemy than you do in God himself. We were talking Wednesday about time. This is something that I've just picked up recently, but you know, we all think, oh, we're running out of time. We got to get this thing together. We're running out of time. Time. was designed to confine the enemy. His time is short. I have all of eternity. I have all the time I need. Now, does that mean I should be lazy? No. I should be diligent about the things of God and doing the things of God, but I got all the time in the world because I'm going to be with him forever. The time constraint is for the enemy. When I start worrying about time, I'm following after the things of the enemy, not the things of God. God's things are yes and amen and eternal. God's things are eternal. When we start following the principles of God, we're following principles that will eternally change our lives. Listen, I know you think the governor is important, but I'm telling you, your pastor is more important because he's speaking to you about things that'll last forever. The governor only deals with things that are temporary. Eternal things, forever things. These are important things. Our Creator gave us a choice to live in the positive world or the negative world. A world of can, that you can accomplish your life dreams, and or a world where you can't do anything because of a million trivial excuses that hold you back. Quit thinking about all the reasons why you can't do something and begin to think of all the reasons you can do something. Because you only need one reason that you can do something. Take the can'ts out and begin to live by believing. There's a friend of Sherry's that I don't know if it's okay for me to share her testimony. They were about to lose their house. They were broker and broke. Okay? They were broke. She was in her sweatpants sitting in her house. Okay? When a friend of hers called her up and said, "Hey, I thought you were coming down to this meeting." Now, I'm not promoting multi-level or any kind of thing, okay? I'm just telling you what happened. She got in the car, unbelieving, got down there, listened to this thing, and thought, "Oh, this might be all right. This might be our ticket out." She began to believe in what she was doing, and some stupid amount of days later, 7 days later, no, I mean 70, how many days later did she start making big money? In her 6 month, she made how much? Over $7,000 in her 6 month. She was desperate. She had to have something change her life. They were going to lose her house. Her husband wasn't working like he used to. Her business was down. They were going under. And their kids were in college, and they had to pay college bills. And they were going under. They weren't sure what they were going to do. Now, you know what her goal is? Her goal is to... Oh, $50 for missions. Her goal is to retire her husband so he can stay home and take care of the house. Wouldn't that be a great job? Stay home, take care.
It's harder than you think.
Yeah, I know. I think that's why our wives go to work. She'll retire her husband. That's her goal now, so that they can live this. It's anything is possible if you begin to believe. That's the only reason I'm telling you that is that it's all possible. You can stay in your negative, "Oh no, what am I going to do?" Or you can begin to look for the positive things. Look, I pray every week for creative new ideas that flow through this congregation. And I'm telling you right now, I keep trying to come up with stuff. I'm thinking of stuff all the time. I'm calling Dave, "Hey Dave, I got this idea." And then Dave shows me where it's already on the internet. I'm like, "Oh, okay, so I got to come up with another one." But I get some great ideas. You know how I know I get great ideas? Because somebody already did it. And they're making lots of money. And you know what? One day I'm going to think of something that nobody else thought of. Hey, you know the little tray that goes on top of the cooler? You know, on the igloos, you know, you can get them where there's a little rim and then there's a cooler that sits on top of that. I thought of that. I did when I was very little because I hated eating soggy sandwiches. And I thought, man, it would be better if they made a little tray to sit on top of that. And then you know what? About 8 months later, there was coolers with that stuff on it. One time I was singing a song about time, and then Chicago wrote a song about time about 6 months later. I'm not lying. But I was so little, I didn't know. I'm telling you, God gives us creative ideas. God wants you to be successful. You know, I just got a new phone. I'm just telling you, I'm stupid. I mean, this thing, I can't even believe. When they first made a computer, it was so huge. Now we carry them in our pockets. We touch screen everything. Unbelievable stuff. I remember a story from in Russia. I was in Russia. I'm sitting, okay, in this school in Russia. And I'm sitting in the office. We're waiting to go in to do the assembly in the office. I'm in this school in I think it was Karnobonov. But I'm terrible at the name. But this was the year after my wife had went with us when we went a few years before that. So I'm in Karnobonov. I'm sitting in this thing, and I'm looking across the room, and there's this Tandy 2000. Now, I know what a Tandy 2000 looks like, okay, a Radio Shack Tandy 2000, because that was like the first computer I bought for my business. I didn't, because I owned a business years ago, and we needed a computer, so I bought a Tandy 2000, and I put it in my, and I don't know how to, I never knew how to use it, but I hired someone that did, okay? And so I remember I had a Tandy 2000 in my office. And so I looked across the room and I saw it sitting there and it was just in the corner, not even being used. And the lady was typing on the electric typewriter. Okay. And I was sitting there and I was looking at the computer and she goes, she looked at me and I'm not kidding. She looked at me and goes, "So, you know what that is?" And I go, "Yeah, that's a computer." And she goes, "Do you have one of those in America? You think that's pretty neat that we have that?" And I thought to myself, and I said to her, I said, "Well, yeah, that's kind of neat." She goes, "So do you have one of those?" I said, "Yeah, pretty much everybody has one of those on their desk back home." She looked at me. I go, she asked me about the typewriter. She goes, "Well, what about this?" And I go, "Well, we see those. But those are kind of like in museums." And she's like, "What?" And I go, "Yeah, I mean, we use a computer. Everybody uses a computer in America." And she's like, "What?" And I'm like, "Well, because now see, but this is all," and it really struck my heart, because this is all because someone said, "You can't. You can't think. You can't grow. You can't have new ideas. You can't." That's what they told a whole society of people. I feel terrible for that. And here we run amok with our great ideas. Here we have no personal thought towards the privilege of discovering all the things that we've discovered here. We are proud and arrogant. And I'm going to say something right now that is kind of anti-American. We need to be careful in America, because in America is not all that important. God is. And when we lose focus and start thinking it's all about America, we mess it up. Okay? America is a good thing, but America isn't the thing. Okay? And I don't want to be un-American now. I just lost everybody. So, "Oh, I'm American." I'm not un-American. I'm just telling you that we better not raise up an idol called America. Because it's not about us being successful. It's about God being successful in the whole earth. Amen? So anyways, I got off on something there. I don't even know why. I got more to do. Each of us has the opportunity to use God's creative forces to accomplish our goals, but few of us do so. This creative force has been given to us freely. It costs us nothing. We receive this power absolutely free. We must only believe in the power of belief. It's absolutely a free gift. As human beings, imperfect by nature, we place very little value on things we do not pay for. We even teach our kids. When we buy things for our kids, and then they destroy them right overnight because they didn't pay for them, we teach them this principle. We say, "Look, we're going to make you earn that new thing. You're going to earn this. You're going to earn that." And so that they hold up a greater value on their toys when they had to earn it and buy it with their own money. We teach our kids that. It is built into the very nature of who we are that we value our homes, our automobiles, our boats, our televisions, and all this stuff. We put all this value on things that we purchase. These are important things to us. At the same time, we place very little value on the things of life that are free, like our bodies and our minds and our families and our friends and our good health and in God's love and love in general and the very natural laws of the universe. Sometimes we have no respect for gravity and we pay the price. I'm just saying. There are things that are free in this world, and we do not take advantage of those things. We seek after those things that we have to pay for because those things become a value to us. When the real important things in life, the truth is that the material things that we hold so valuable are very cheap and can be replaced. Your home can be destroyed by fire and then rebuilt. A man can lose his fortune and then replace it several times over. But when the things that are given to us for free are lost, they're gone forever. When you lose family members, they're gone. When you lose friends, they can be gone. When you lose your life or your health, you could be gone. These things are free, and we don't cherish them like we should. The statement, the best things in life are free, is true. They are valuable. They are available for the taking. They are things that are responsible for putting happiness in our lives. I mean, what makes you more happy, that your house is painted green, or that your kids just did something great at school and got an honor at school? Your kids. Or that your wife got a promotion, or your husband got a promotion, those are the things that are important. Or that when you get together for Thanksgiving, you're all together. When everyone in your family is healthy, does it make you happy when your dad starts getting, because my dad right now is in the hospital and he's sick. I asked him the other day, I said, Dad, are you, I got a question to ask you, and I don't want you to be mad at me for asking it, but are you okay with God? And then he said, well, I suppose so. Well, that's a long ways from don't ever ask me those questions, so I'm happy about that. But I just keep praying that goes from I suppose so to I know so. Because if I lose my dad before he gets saved, it will be devastating. Before I know. It won't end what I do. It will just be hard on me not to know. Absolutely. I'm just saying that, listen, the most valuable things in life are free. And the things that make us most happy and most successful are free. And we don't put value on those things. We put value on things that are so temporary and that can be replaced. To take advantage of the natural laws of the universe to guide us in life. To this whole thing about belief that we're talking about this morning. We need to understand the essence of who the Creator is. The Creator, Jesus, or the Father, God, the Creator, is sovereign. The Creator rules all things. He's righteous. It is impossible for the Creator to be wrong. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever thought that it's impossible for God to be wrong? And you know what? I understand this because His ways are always perfect. Even when you think God is wrong, He's right. Even when the worst things are going on in the world and you think to yourself, oh my goodness, this is so wrong, it's right. It will be right because God is always right. Even when you're going through the hardest things in your own life, it will be right if you seek after God, because he's right. He's always right. He's just. The Creator knows everything, all sides of every situation. Therefore, it is impossible for him to be unfair. God is always fair. Now, you may be on the wrong side of his fairness. You need to make sure you get on the right side of his fairness. Amen? Loving. The Creator gives perfect affection, a love beyond human love and understanding. He is eternal. The Creator has always existed, is very much alive today, and will always exist. He is forever. Now, I'm going to try to do these three things here, and I'm... He's omniscient. The Creator knows everything, and all ideas come from his infinite mind. Anything you think of is from him. He's omnipotent. That's what he is. He's omnipotent. The Creator has the power to do anything. He is all powerful and all able. He's everything. All of it is held together by his hands. He's omnipresent. The Creator is everywhere at all times. He is not someone located in some remote unknown place. He is standing by your side. He's immutable. The Creator never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's truthful. The Creator is absolutely true. It is impossible for him to lie. When we begin to understand who our Creator is, what he's done, who he's about. Listen, the Bible is all about Jesus. Okay, this is where the Jewish folks got messed up. The Bible is all of it, the whole thing is about Jesus. It all is about Jesus. If you don't get that, you will not get the Bible. None of it is about anything else except Jesus. God told the whole story of the Bible to tell you about Jesus, his son. And the whole reason for telling you about Jesus is so that every one of us might be made right in his sight, that we might walk with him, talk with him, be guided by him, be led by him, be moved by him, successful in him. Everything is in him. The Bible was written so that you might meet Jesus, make him your Savior, and then walk completely, totally, unabated in him. Why not? Why not be so ridiculously after God? Why not? Why do it halfway? Why not just be recklessly after God and see what he will do? Why not just recklessly believe everything that he tells you in the Bible is true and just follow it? Why not be reckless? Why do we hold back? Why do we hold back and not go completely after God and then complain about it as if God isn't working in our lives? Why not just be absolutely radically abandoned after God? Just fall complete. Listen, take the jump. Here's the line. Take the step. Just believe. Just flat out go over the line and believe. Doubt him no more in any part of your life. Just believe that God's plans and purposes for your life are to be fruitful and to multiply and to be blessed and to be successful. Those are God's plans for your life. Just believe it. Just step over the line and start believing today. Just step over and do it. Don't stop short. Just go after God. Let's pray. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We thank you for this time that we can gather together and study your word. I pray that it will challenge in our hearts and our lives to believe in you, to take that step of faith, to just believe. Just go over the line. No longer are we going to doubt your plans, your purposes for our lives. We're just going to follow after you as best we can. We're going to go directly after you and believe that you've got a plan and a purpose for us, that you've got great things in store for us as we step over in belief and just believe you wholeheartedly with everything. It's all yours, God. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today, you've drifted from your relationship with Jesus. You're not in a relationship with him at all. And you would like to make that relationship right. We would love to pray with you. We've got a book that you can study. We would love to help you out here. So if you'll just raise your hand, we'll be happy to pray with you. We don't want to miss an opportunity for you to come into right relationship with Jesus. So if you'll slip your hand up, we want to pray with you. Amen. Amen. Lord, we just love you and we thank you. We thank you for all those that are here today. Let us continue to follow after you and just with all our hearts, with all our minds, with all our souls. And we'll just continue to go after you with all of our body. We'll just come after you, God, just wholeheartedly seeking after you with a great boldness to believe that you will accomplish everything that you put in your word to happen in our lives. God, we just give you praise. We give you glory. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen.